Now it is your turn to talk and my turn to listen. So I want to hear if you learned anything, if you had any realization or any discovery. And everybody can learn from you, not just myself. So anybody like to share? Any brave person? Yeah. How many years?
28 years. Together. And I was for her the responsible, the mother, and the good sister, and the good everything. She had a mother, her mother died, and she had one brother also died, and she had a marriage, it was so difficult. His husband was so difficult. And I all the time support her. And she was not a nurse. She finished 8th class and she learned like a nurse. And
she what?
Not a nurse.
Not a beginning. She didn't
have not that professional, but she was working
it.
Yes. Okay.
But
can you hear?
Every week.
I may have to repeat for them.
I have to repeat.
No. Me.
And every week I gave her 2 hours to teach her the nursing. It was goodness from me. And
this is the daughter of?
Mama.
This is the 28 year working together?
Together.
Yes.
Not her daughter.
And every week, the first years, every week I gave her 2 hours to teach her the nursing.
Okay.
And all the things. And I was the one in the region that she can
coach other nursing still. I mean, like the new
everyone. She want to work in the public health. She came to me 4 or 5 months to learn and to go. And I must give her the like a stage, 4 or 5 days.
Certification?
No, she was in training the
other. Training, yes, training.
You trained her as a nurse?
She trained other nurses to become a public health nurse. And in this situation, she, after 1, 2, 3 years, because I was the one, she told me, you love these people that they come to train here more than me. I said, why? We must speak. How? I love you. I respect. No. It was before, after 25 years, it began to set these things. And I had a big family, 7 children, and a big house. I am the responsible in the station, and they came to me to training, and it was. In one way, maybe I can't be her mother. Maybe in these times I was busy with many things and I can't be like I was. And she began to make her face. I said before the nurses, come, we want to see many things in the table. Now we have a meeting. We make a coffee and I told him I want to speak about my feelings before and after. We want everyone of you spoke about her feelings here in the station, what we feel, one feel in the station. I said I feel something going on and I didn't like it, but I didn't know how. What is this in the stuff, between the stuff? This is my feeling, and I hope that I am wrong. But I feel these things, but I didn't something. And all of them, they don't want to speak. I told them, I am not a big Leon Moyo. I am like you. We want everything on reality here in the table. And come here, you forget us. Me, maybe you are right, but I didn't feel like this. I told him, maybe you are right in your feelings. This is your feelings, but I didn't feel the same thing. You know, maybe I will change. I try to change. No, this training stuff, you must, we didn't want her in the station. You must, I said, how? She is a nurse, and she's a good nurse, and I must, no, she is liar, she is like this. I told him, sorry, it's not the same that I feel like this, and I am not the woman, the nurse that gave, go away. It's not my, and I, no. And we finished, and I said, maybe I'll try. If I didn't, if you saw me in the same situation, spoke to me. We continued to try to work together, and after she went to retire. And we make for her a meeting, a party, a small party. And I told her, you see, I forget what you spoke. We worked together 30, 20, 20 years, 29 years. I forgive you. I love you. I love your family. I love your children. And I forget about what you spoke. We want, this is the station. This is your home. You can come whatever you want. You can speak whatever you want. And we continue to touch. We cried the two and the staff, the other staff. And I think it is finito here. I forgave her and it's finished. After 1 month when she's retired, her sister died. And I go to tell her. Yes. And after 2 days, the doctor, he worked with us, called me, phone for me, so hey, why aren't you go, went to this nurse to tell her, yani, you're sorry. I told him, yes, I go. I was there. Who told you? Told me he phoned, she phoned for me. I feel like this. I told him.
Like this means angry?
Angry, yes. Very angry. I feel very angry. I feel like a Leon Kvar. Because all this, I forgive her and she, and it's liar. It's not truth, it's liar. I told her, tomorrow we work together. I don't want to speak with you in the phone. We will work together tomorrow and we will speak tomorrow. And tomorrow he told me, they spoke to me that you didn't go here, that you didn't visit. You didn't respect her, you didn't go when she was in Romania to her children. I told her, when we met a meeting, I told him, like a nurse responsible, I am good or not good. Tell me your feelings. No, you are not 10, you are 11 responsible. Like a friend, I am not, no, you are 11. Like, what's the, you didn't respect me, you didn't love me. Told me like this, there is no reason. And she told the doctor, she told her that she didn't visit my children when I was in Romania. She didn't come to me in the feast to tell me good feast. And it's not good, all liar. I told her, come here, I'll phone for her, she will come here and we want to speak because I am angry, like I don't like. She came, I phone for her, I like you to come to drink coffee dessert, we want to speak. She came, and
can I say one thing? We have a half hour. And other people
yes.
Need to share.
Yes.
So.
I learned from this, not to
Expect.
Not to expect. If you make good things, not to expect the good things from this person. I make good things for that, not for her. And I must not be, because she didn't find any reason. she has a very good situation, and maybe I didn't compassion her. I didn't embrace her. But I learned not to expect anything from anything. I make good things for God, and not to take everything from love.
For granted.
Yeah, I love her. She loves me. No, I must be all the time. You understand me about me.
Sometimes you give, and not appreciated. If you know you've done the right thing, you're okay.
Yeah.
Look what happened to Jesus. Give, and then how was he appreciated?
You don't give to receive, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But you're receiving anyway.
Just give for giving.
You receive from other people.
By the way,
yeah.
The story.
Or you receive from God. He knows.
Yes, I learned that God gave me many good things. More money, more than I give.
Mm.
Thank you.
Good for business, right? The principle is you do, in Sanskrit, dharma. You do the right thing, then everything's good. Even if it doesn't look good. In America, the banks did the wrong thing. It looked good on paper, but they did the wrong thing, and then it collapsed. Thank you. Anyone else like to share what they learned? I want to ask her. You didn't learn anything? Did you learn anything?
No, I don't want to.
Oh, okay.
Over here.
Oh, yes.
I was thinking about it, but for a long time, that the ego is managing all these matters of anger and unforgiveness and all these matters is ruled by the ego. And when you are able to separate it apart, the ego, by the soul, or how you call it, so you can make the management, the up management of all the area, and to tell the ego, stay alone, stay quiet, you are not reacting now. So when I was able to do it, I feel a very big liberation at the soul. I'm not responsible for the ego, and I'm only separating and ruling him, and so it, and so my soul is very liberate now.
Perfect. Very good.
This is the conclusion.
You are above the mind. And another conclusion is, which is very important, you're not the anger. You're not the hate. You're not the resentment. It's an emotion which is, you have control of.
And another thing is that I am the only responsible for my doings. Nobody else.
Yes.
I'm not blaming no one.
Perfect. When you blame someone, you can't solve the problem because the problem is them. But when you take responsibility, then you can solve the problem because the problem is within. Better solution, right? You realize that most people have two choices. Well, we all have two choices in how we act. We're going to either act impulsively or we're going to act deliberately, intelligently. This is how I want to act.
When the lion is after me, I'm reacting impulsively.
Yes. And if you remember...
When what is after you?
The lion is after me. The lion.
Ah, the lion.
The lion is many things. We all know what the lion is because we live with ourselves, so we know the impulses that push us. But if you think, I'm not those impulses, I'm beyond it. I'm above it. In the Bhagavad Gita, do we have Bhagavad Gita? In English? It would help. If it's in English, it would be easier for me. The last verse, but it's the wrong chapter. Okay, let's go to the next one. Might be this chapter. Thus knowing oneself to be transcendental to material senses, mind, and intelligence, one should control the lower self by the higher self. And thus, by spiritual strength, conquer the insatiable enemy known as lust. That's basically what you're saying. What's the lower self? Who knows the lower self?
Ego.
Ego? False ego, false, you know, the impulses. The impulses, that's the lower self. All those impulses, where do they come from? It's our conditioning, it's our makeup, it's the programming. We all were born with a program, right? And then as you grow, you get the upgrades or the downgrades, depending on, you know, who you hang out with. So you get some upgrades or downgrades, you know, that's the programming. Now, spiritual life means you upgrade to the spiritual platform. But the programming, it doesn't change unless you change it. You have to do something. So in every lifetime we're acting and the program's changing and you get the next body according to the programming, and whatever you didn't resolve in one life, now you have to resolve it here. And so the programming's going on, but you realize you're beyond it, you're a spiritual being beyond the programming, and you don't have to act according to the programming. You think, a lot of us think we do, but we don't have to. That's what's being said here. Let's read it again. I'll read Sanskrit. You like Sanskrit?
I like it. I don't understand.
You don't have to. Just listen. It'll just hear the vibration. Evam bhute param bhutva samstayatmanam atmana jarishatram mahabaho kamarupam dhurashudam. That's knowing oneself to be transcendental. You understand transcendental? Above material, spiritual. That's knowing oneself to be spiritual or transcendental to the senses, the mind, and intelligence. Those are just physical parts of our material makeup. One should control the lower self. Lower self means, in Sanskrit, it's called kama. Who knows what kama means? Passion, lust, kama, krodha, kam, krodha, lobha, greed, kam, krodha, lobha, moha, and matsara, matsara, envy. These are in Sanskrit considered five strong conditionings of everyone in this world. Lust. The word Sanskrit, kama, you've heard Kama Sutra? Kama basically means sexual lust, where loba means greed for having things. Kam, and then anger, and then envy. And illusion just means general ignorance, misidentification with the body, and the ignorance evolved in not being spiritual. So these are the things that push us And so what Krishna is saying here is when you understand you're spiritual, then, like we're talking now, somebody does something to you to harm you. You respond either in two ways. You're going to respond according to these five, or you're going to respond from a higher consciousness. Right? And who chooses? Who chooses? But who chooses it? I have a question. Who chooses your thoughts for you?
I don't know.
Either your impulsive lower self or your higher self.
It's a, for me, it's a random generator.
An autopilot. You have to up, now, if you upgrade your programming, then your autopilot will be perfect. Yeah, it'll all do the right thing. So we're in this consciousness thinking, no, I don't choose my thoughts. They just show up, right? And they tell me what to do, and I just do it, you know? So when I go to court, I say, well, why did you attack this person? Why did you steal their car? And, oh, it's just my mind told me to do that. The judge goes, okay, acquitted, you can leave. That's a good argument. Are they going to accept it? But we think like that, don't we? Well, my mind just told me to do that, so I did it. What's wrong with that? Right? I'm not responsible. They're just thoughts. They're just pushing me around. No. Who chooses our thoughts?
We do.
We do. That's the whole point. I mean, we're supposed to. Okay, so we're conditioned souls. What do you do when the bad thoughts come? You just move them to the side. But when we're not spiritual, we think, though the bad thoughts dictate, because they're there, that's what I'm supposed to do. No, we move them to the side, and we move forward on the path of Dharma to do what's right. So now, I'm going to read you a conversation. You're going to love this.
Can you, I ask something?
Yes, please.
Like, when you talk about it, it sounds like it's so much easier. And when he talks about the lion, he says, like, okay, because of the lion. But, like, you have a lion inside of you. You have to fight.
Right, right.
And it's not easy. I mean, like, by talking theoretical-wise, it sounds
so, good point. Good point. So, that's why we chant every day. Because that's the chant. Chanting. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Chanting. Chanting. In the material world, there's gravity. And this lust and greed and anger and envy, that's the gravity, right? So spiritual life is the rocket ship. And if it's not powerful enough, rocket ships have to go against gravity, right?
Yeah.
And what about outer space? Less gravity, more gravity? Isn't it most of the energy is when they take off? And then when they get up there, there's less gravity or no gravity? No gravity. So in the beginning of your spiritual practice, there's more gravity. Right? So the rocket ship has to be very powerful. And that's your spiritual practice is the power. But when you become more elevated, your consciousness has changed. So your consciousness is supporting the rocket.
This is the liberation.
Yeah, it's liberation. There's no gravity anymore. So spiritual practice, one of the main practices we do is chanting every day. 42 years, every day I chanted. For at least 2 hours. You know, you've chanted before, right?
Yes.
So, every day, I made a vow when I was 19, I would chant every day for 2 hours. Could you imagine, you have to take 2 hours out of your busy day? How do you do it? You have to sleep less. You have to stop watching television, and you have to stop doing so many things so you can find 2 hours. But that's part of the reason you take that time, because you minimize the things that are adding to the gravity. Because we do a lot of things in our life that work against us. And in fact, when you want to move forward, you realize more and more how much you're your own enemy. That nobody's holding you down but yourself. Right? But the spiritual practice helps connect with that higher nature, the higher desire, because within all of us, is the spiritual desire. And it's very strong, but it gets covered. And so, particularly the chanting, it awakens that desire stronger and stronger and stronger. So just like we're saying, you should
respond to hatred with love. Okay, that's difficult. How many people can do that? But chanting empowers you. It's very, very powerful. It's amazing. I can't even describe how amazing it is. And if you can come here tomorrow, you will find out, because we're going to do it all day. We're going to talk about it. But it's we need these things. So if we just exist intellectually, yeah, it's going to be hard. Because we'll say, well, I know I shouldn't have done that, but... And we'll be on our deathbed saying, well, I know I shouldn't have done that, but... You don't want to die saying that, singing that song, that hit song. You know, it was the theme song of your life. I know I shouldn't have done it, but... Right? We don't want to sing that song, you know? We don't want that to be the theme song of our life. We want the theme song of, I know I should have done it, and I did it. That's the theme song we want to sing. But we need a spiritual practice to help us. It's very important. So in a spiritual practice, you'll find any discipline, it's called in Sanskrit sadhana. Sadhana means practice. It means you do it every day.
But don't you feel like when you most want it, when you most really want to do this stuff, you find like the materialistic world is getting more stronger.
Yeah.
I mean, you find it like more attractive or more,
yes.
I don't know, like it gets too much powerful and too much strong. And then, by the way, you just like fall down. And again, you start all over again. And every time it just gets to be a bit more difficult. So this thing that he was talking about, the liberation, I guess this is the juice for
okay.
everything.
Yeah. You want to climb Mount Everest, and it's getting really hard. And you're going up it, and all you, as you get hit a certain point, you're thinking, it's too hard, let's turn back. And you call your friends, and they're on the top, and they say, it's worth it. Just get up here, somehow or other. You won't believe it. And if you don't, you're going to regret it. So the spiritual goal is very high. And when you get it, you're going to go, oh, or om, or whatever you're going to say. But you're gonna realize it was worth it. And my spiritual master used to say something, it's very important for us to understand this. He said, God is not cheap. And what he meant by that is, he doesn't make it easy. Because if he makes it easy, you become lazy. We all become lazy. I'll do it later, it's easy. I'll wait till I'm 50, I'll do it then. I can do it in a few days. No, it's a lifetime project. And the fact that he doesn't make it easy is what we need to make us work for it and become more serious and more determined. So when something's not easy, either you become more determined or you become lazy. You either say, it's too hard, I don't want to do it, or you become more determined. So if you do a spiritual practice, what happens, especially if you're chanting every day for a period of time, you get a ability to perceive to some degree what it's like up on top before you get there. You can kind of sense it. And that's what keeps you going. And I'll tell you a story. There's a holy place in India called Vrindavan, and that is the birthplace of Lord Krishna. And when you go to Vrindavan, you realize you're in a different world. And it doesn't make, you can't understand it. It's just you experience it. So there were some students who went there from America, and they stayed for a few days. They were photography students on a photography project, and they weren't people who would normally go there. It wasn't their interest. But after 3 days in Vrindavan, when they left, they asked the tour guide a question. They said, what is this feeling we're getting? We've never had this feeling before in our life. What is it? That's a spiritual feeling. So if you get it, then you understand all this other material stuff. It appears attractive, but it can't give you what you want. You ever had cotton? You have cotton candy in this country?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You ever eaten cotton candy?
Mm-hmm.
So you can't. You know cotton candy?
Yeah.
Looks like cotton.
Yes.
That's basically nothing, right? But that's what material things are. They look like something, and then you eat them, and you're left hungry. And sometimes, like you're saying, it gets worse because it makes you more hungry. Because it's what you need is not the cotton candy. You need a meal. And so we don't need the material things. There's a hole in our heart. They say in the they say in, I think, a 12-step program, you have a hole in your heart in the shape of God, and you're putting other things in that hole. Right? You put your promotions in and your successes in and your, you know, your increased income and your new business. You put all these things. Okay, those things are fine, but they're not filling the hole. That's the problem. And we all know if we are in a higher level of consciousness, the material things won't matter to us. It's when we're in the lower level that they look attractive. Because the hole gets bigger when you're down here. Isn't it? If you're a person, I mean, you think Mother Teresa is like hankering for a Rolls Royce or a BMW or even, you know, a Lexus. You know, she'll be all be satisfied with a Lexus. Her consciousness is too far above that. All right, have your Lexus, no problem. But you don't think that's what's going to make you happy. You're using that. Okay, comfortable. Nice, no problem. But to think that this is what's going to make me happy, that's insane. So if you're a person, a spiritual person, and you have a very high consciousness, you'll be happy, right? Lexus, Toyota, Volkswagen, doesn't matter. You'll be happy. And if you're a person of low consciousness, you can have the whole world, and you'll want more. That's the way this world is created to teach us that. And that's why we aren't satisfied with those things, because that's the message it's teaching us. It said, no, you're a spiritual being. You can be comfortable with those things, but to be deeply satisfied with those things? That's not possible. You're a spiritual being. How can a spiritual being be satisfied to the heart with something material? Like people say, well, I want to achieve this. And I say, okay, achieve it. And then I ask the question, then what? And that's what happens with people who are successful. Say, I got it. And the question is, now what? Now what do I do? Now you realize who you are spiritually. That's the point. So you need a process, right? The process to awaken that. If we don't have a process through meditation, through sadhana, spiritual practice, then the material things will appear attractive even if we know they're not. You'll know it. And that, in my experience, that is the worst torture, to know and not do. If you don't know, you're okay, because ignorance is bliss. You're just in total ignorance, you know, just get drunk and I'm happy. I'm laying in the gutter, I'm the happiest guy in the gutter. Happiest guy in the street, laying in the gutter, totally drunk. You're in total ignorance, you think you're happy, that's fine. So the price of knowledge is that now you know. And now it's harder than when you know. Because now you know when you don't do it, exactly why you're miserable. Before you just kind of felt it, but now you exactly know why. And it's harder. So when you come to that point in your life when you know, at that point you have to realize you have to start doing it. Otherwise you're going to suffer more. They say that there's a point in your spiritual practice where you actually suffer because you're not quite there yet, but you know where you should go, and it causes pain because it's clear. And you confront your weaknesses, but it's worth going through, because you'll get to the top. And when you get to the top, it's so far beyond anything you can get in this world. When you're sitting up there, you'll say, you'll call your friends down there and you'll say, yeah, it was worth it, come on up. Because you're not going to get it down there. That's my experience.
I have a question.
Yes? Did that answer your question? So she'll help you with your spiritual practice. She can design something for you. You do every day, and then you'll have that fuel under you. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare. That's fuel under your rocket. Yes?
How do we know that we have forgiven someone? What's the feeling like?
What's the feeling?
Release.
Very good question. The feeling is, well, one way that I like it was explained to me, and I think this describes it quite well. if you look at your life, so many things have happened in your life. You review them. And you'll go through the history of your life and you'll hit something. And that's, oh, my sister, she did this. When my father died, she took all the money. And it stops there. And it's like, that happened to anybody here? The brother, the sibling, you know, life was good until the parents died and then there was the feud in the family over who's getting the money. So you review that and it's you feel a negative emotional experience. And then you go through your life and like that. So when you forgive, you review your life and you hit that point and it just goes like anything else. It doesn't stop. When you see them, nothing, it's like seeing anybody. The negativity is gone. The emotional charge is over. That's how you know. And you won't want to talk about it, and you won't want to tell anybody, because it's not an issue for you. I've done this a lot, and I've seen visually in my seminars people change. Like you can see it physically in the energy level of their body and on their face. You can see something has left. The negative energy has gone, because emotions have energy and they're real. And negative emotions have, as I was saying before, they have negative effects on our consciousness and on our emotion and on our physical being. And you can see it. So, I mean, we have a course. It's like 17 hours. So I have a whole forgiveness course. So we can do that when I come back if you like. But it's an operation. But after the operation, people are... they're pretty happy because they've got over something that was a big weight on them. And you can feel it. Some of you feel it in your shoulders. Some of you will feel it in your stomach if you're sensitive to it. Some will feel it here. Some will feel it here. But we all feel it. And when it goes, you feel it go. You will feel a difference. And also how you'll experience it is in terms of the energy you have in your life, because resentment is taking energy up. It's like something inside of you is a drain. It's like a draining force, and it's going on. You may not be conscious of it, but it's working. And when it goes, you feel. So I have more energy now for life, because the negative drain is gone.
And what's the process? Is it like you think of someone, and you say, I forgive you, or what do you do?
There's a few things you do. It's like the exercise we just did. If you can begin to change how you see them, not as enemies, but as teachers, lessons I need to learn, God sent them. At a certain point, they're out of the picture, and you're just dealing with the lesson. That's one way. Another way, we're talking about compassion. So if you see them compassionately, you see, well, they have their own struggle. And in many cases, they were not trying to hurt me. They were just dealing with life. So as your level of compassion rises, then you think they're dealing with life, just like everybody else is dealing, and they're struggling, and they're doing what the best they can in the situation they're in. And if you even take it further, you begin to feel, you can begin to feel sorry for the person who hurt you in their own struggle. And that really dissipates your anger, because you've come to a level of compassion. Just like, I mean, I found that to be one of the most powerful ways of forgiving. And I found that to be one of the best ways to forgive, and the most purifying and most uplifting. Where if it's just about me and I want to get rid of it, it's okay. But if it's about compassion, it forces me to go up to this level, where it's not just about me anymore, but it's about me being kind to someone who hurt me, which is a very high level of consciousness. But what that does for your own life, you're now living up here instead of down here. And that's going to alter your whole life. What it's done for me is, it's kind of put me in proactive forgiveness. When people, I'll tell you a story. There was a taxi driver, and someone drives in front of him. He's going, and the guy drives in front of him, and he almost gets in an accident, and the guy yells and curses at him. And the taxi driver goes, smiles. So the guy in the back seat says, "Yo, dude, what's going down? This was America again. So he said, why aren't you upset? He almost ran into you and he was blaming you for it. He said, he's just dumping his garbage on me. He's driving a garbage truck. He said, what do you mean? He said, well, everybody's going through difficulties in life and all this garbage is there and it was overflowing. So he just was throwing his garbage on me. So I know that. So I don't get upset. You know, everybody's dumping their garbage. So it's just another way of dealing with people. I had a friend and he was complaining about someone that I liked. But I didn't get upset because I knew that in his complaining I could see he was hurt and he was painful. He was it came out very nasty, but inside he was in pain. So I could see the pain and it didn't bother me. Whereas if you just don't see that, you'll get upset. No, you can't say that that's not right and you get angry. So it's a higher level of consciousness dealing with it. And that's part of advancing spiritually. That's what it means. And another way of looking at it is, if there are no opportunities to forgive, how will I learn about it? So all these wonderful people in this world give us so many opportunities to forgive, starting with your husband and your wife. They give you all kinds of opportunities to forgive. And you can't have a good marriage if you don't know how to forgive. You can't have good relations if you don't know how to forgive. Our husbands and wives, our bosses, our friends, they teach us how to be tolerant. And so if you see them as opportunities to grow, then when someone's doing something to bother you, automatically you respond, oh, thank you, God, for giving me this opportunity to practice tolerance, rather than, God, can you get this idiot out of my life? Right? Isn't it? Again, where do your thoughts come from? Who's choosing your thoughts? You know, these are all choices. So one of the things that I've realized in my life, I've been doing this for 42 years, that it's very easy to do a spiritual practice and divorce yourself from actually manifesting these qualities in your life. So you can divorce your spiritual life from your life. Because I have my spiritual life, it ends at 7:30 every morning, and I go in the world and yell and scream and jump on people. And I come home and read my scripture at night. And it's very easy to do that and be totally oblivious to the fact that when you're out in the world, you haven't integrated anything you've learned. It's very easy and it's very common, as you well know. So I think that's really what you get when you look at forgiveness, you look at compassion and tolerance, you see that this is the integration of what you're learning. And if you can't integrate it, then there's something inside on a deeper level you need to look at and say, why am I unwilling to let this go? There's something there. And it's just, don't, and rather than blame the person, see it as a spiritual deficiency that you need to work on. This is such a huge problem, to integrate, to take the knowledge out of the book into your life 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. That's the challenge. It's easy to do it. Go to the temple, go to the mosque. Everybody does a really good job there. Even the mafia, they do a good job in the Catholic Church. Right? They'll go there, they'll pray, right? And they'll go out and do their stuff. And they'll give a donation and wash their hands of the sin. But that's not what we want to achieve, do we? That's not spiritual life. So that's our challenge. And so if you're on that level, then you'll look at your relations with other people and say, how does this reflect with my relation up there with him? And if you try to block that out and think, no, I'm very spiritual and I can deal with people this way, you can think like that, but it's not the way it's supposed to be. So now, you like that? Is that good? Okay, now we'll read something to you that will help you understand this. Now, I could say some of us may be resistant to this because it's so true we don't want to acknowledge it. Because it's easier, you can just go and just chant and read your scripture and do that and keep it in a box. right? And that's easier to do than open up the box and actually deal with everything in your life. I mean, one of the things that I found is it's really hard to be nice to the people close to you. Sometimes it's a real challenge.
Why is that?
Take them for granted. Think they'll always be around. They have to be. They have to be around. Now, so, but that's good because it's more of a challenge. Well, how spiritual am I? A lot of times we think we're spiritual, but it's only external. It's only, we've got the ritual down. India, they're really good at ritual. They go to the temples, they offer things to the deities in the temples. They offer incense and bananas and so on. And while they're offering it, you look at them and you say, these people are very religious. But in their mind, they're thinking, I want a new car, I want more money, I want a new job. That's what's going on. So they look like they have it down. But in their heart, it's totally material. Or, I want to destroy this enemy. It gets worse. So they have this joke in India. This guy goes to the temple and he prays to the deity. He said, I'm going to the horse race. If I win 100,000 rupees, I'll give you half. I'll give you 50%. So he only wins 50%. He goes back to Didi and said, I guess you've already taken your 50%. So I'll keep the other half. That typifies that mentality. So it's not that in spiritual practice there's not ritual and there's not external, but it can remain very external. And you can think, okay, I did it. I did my, you know, half hour chanting and I'm good. You know, everything's, you know. But it's not like that. Okay, let's read this. You'll like this. Maybe a good way to end. This is called Installing Love, and it's a tech support conversation. So I'm sure you're all familiar with tech support, you know, when you have something wrong with your iPod or your computer. What's the, they call it tech support, technical support?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
okay.
My computer's
yeah.
Doing something. It's like, okay, this is, what do you call it?
Tech support.
Tech support.
I thought you were talking about tech support.
This is the real tech support. Okay, yes, how can I help you? Customer, well, after much consideration, I've decided to install love. Can you guide me through the process? Yes, I can. Are you ready to proceed? Well, I'm not very technical, but I think I'm ready. What do I do first? First step is to open your heart. Have you located your heart? Yes, but there are several other programs running now. Is it okay to install love while they are running? What programs are running? Let's see. I have past hurt, low self-esteem, grudge, and resentment. No problem. Love will gradually erase past hurt from your current operating system. It may remain in your permanent memory, but will no longer disrupt other programs. Love will eventually override low self-esteem with a module of its own called high self-esteem. However, you have to completely turn off grudge and resentment. Those programs prevent love from being properly installed. Can you turn those off? I don't know how to turn them off. Can you tell me how? With pleasure. Go to the start menu and invoke forgiveness. Do this as many times as necessary until grudge and resentment have been erased. Customer, okay, done. Love has started installing itself. Is that normal? Yes, but remember that you only have the base program. You need to be connecting to others, to other hearts, in order to get the upgrades. Customer, oops, I have an error message already. It says error. Program not run on external components. What should I do? Don't worry. It means that the love program is set up to run on internal hearts, but has not yet been run on your heart. In non-technical terms, it means you have to love yourself before you can love others. You know, part of your spiritual practice, this is your love of yourself. You're giving God to yourself. That's how you love yourself. You're nurturing your soul. That's self-love. It's not going shopping to buy new jewelry, that this is how you love yourself. I mean, it may be a little bit, but this is the real love, the real nurture, the real love of self, to allow God to love you. Some of us won't even allow God to love us. Don't love me, go love them, I'm useless. No, we have to allow God to love us. What should I do? Pull down self-acceptance, then click on the following files. Forgive self. Forgive yourself. Realize your worth and acknowledge your limitations. Those are the three menus. Should I read them again? I'll read the whole thing. Let's go back. In non-technical terms, it means you have to love yourself before you can love others. So what should I do? Pull down self-acceptance menu, then click on the following files. Forgive self, realize your worth, and acknowledge your limitations. In other words, to love yourself, you just have to accept yourself as you are, because that's how you are, right? So, is that okay?
Mm-hmm.
You can accept yourself as you are, and then you can work on yourself, get better over time. Customer, okay, done. Tech support. Now copy them to the My Heart directory. The system will overwrite any conflicting files and begin patching faulty programming. Also, you need to delete self-criticism from all directories and empty your recycle bin to make sure it is completely gone and never comes back. Any of you criticize yourself? I'm so this and I'm so that. Customer, got it. Hey, my heart is filling up with new files. Smile is playing on my monitor, and peace and contentment are copying themselves. That's part of your answer. That's how you feel. Is this normal? Sometimes, for others it takes a while, but eventually everything gets it at the proper time. So love is installed and running. One more thing before we hang up. Love is freeware. Be sure to give it and its various modules to everyone you meet, who will in turn share it with others and return some cool modules back to you. Customer, thank you, God. Tech support, you're welcome, anytime. So thank you for attending.
Thank you.
I'm glad you came, and maybe we'll come back and we'll do the full 2 days and we'll do the full operation. This was just a diagnosis here. Hare Krishna. What are we doing now? We're eating more? What?
Another program.
Oh yeah. Have another eating program. Okay. So, I just want to end now. I'm happy to stay longer, but because we were supposed to officially end at 2, I don't want to keep anybody. But if anyone has any further questions or wants to discuss anything, I'll stay here for a while. Okay. We'd like to meet you also, since you came so far so late. Okay. And yeah. You can hang around as long as you want and eat as many watermelons as you want. No problem.